This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by the state auditor, Diana DeZoglio. And Diana, welcome. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's great to join you today.
Well, you were a former state senator up in the Merrimack Valley, North Shore, Essex 1, the district, and also the North Shore up in the Newburyport area as well. We have that information posted on this post as well. People want to check that out. And you ran for state auditor, one. And so now I think one of the big things that you are doing in your office, it's drawing a lot of attention, is your audit of the legislature. And a ballot question, but let's hold off on that ballot question for now. Tell us about what you've done in trying to audit the legislature and then the resistance that you have or the pushback you're getting from the legislature.
Sure thing, absolutely. So for folks that haven't heard about what's going on, we in the Office of State Auditor, I'm your state auditor, my name's Diana DeZoglio. We in the Office of State Auditor are currently auditing the state legislature in Massachusetts, the Senate and the House of Representatives. We audit every single state entity, under our guiding statute of Mass General Laws. We audit agencies, entities, departments of the Commonwealth, and we are called to do so at least once every 3 years. Audits of the state legislature here in Massachusetts were actually done by the Office of State Auditor nearly every year since the inception and the creation of the auditor's office back in 1849. But in recent years, unfortunately, those audits stopped occurring, not because they're illegal, not because they're not constitutional. They just stopped occurring because of a lack of political will to continue conducting these audits of the legislature. And we know that we've had indictments through the years. We've had, public corruption challenges through the years. So we wanted to bring back this auditing process to the Office of State Auditor and ensure that our legislative leaders are held to the same standard of accountability as every other state entity. And unfortunately, we've received a tremendous amount of pushback from legislative leaders, namely the Senate President and the Speaker of the House, who largely control what happens in the legislature, who control the books, who control the finances, and they are outright refusing to cooperate with the auditors in our office who are seeking transparency and accountability by accessing certain documents and also by meeting with staff and legislators regarding processes and procedures that our office would like to analyze to promote increased accessibility for you, the taxpayer. Again, these audits are called performance audits. Our office does them of all state entities in the Commonwealth. The only state entity that is refusing to comply with our push for greater transparency is the state legislature, our elected officials on Beacon Hill. So we have our work cut out for us, and we have decided to pursue, unfortunately so, litigation through the state's attorney general's office. We have sent her a legal memo documenting the reasons why we are unfortunately having to push for pursuing this matter in court. We have cited the noncompliance from legislative leaders, and we're hoping that the attorney general will represent us in court to ensure compliance from legislative leaders regarding how they're spending your tax dollars. But simultaneously, and then if you don't mind, Bill, I will just shift to what I'm doing in my personal capacity. In addition to what we are doing in the Office of State Auditor, I, in my personal capacity, am pursuing a ballot initiative to put before you, the voters, the opportunity to be able to vote on this issue and let the legislature know that you expect transparency, accountability, and accessibility regarding information surrounding what's going on up on Beacon Hill. The language in the proposed ballot question would specify very plainly that the auditor has the authority to audit the state legislature. Legislative leaders seem to be confused about the fact that the law already states that they are subject to an audit from our office. So we want to make it crystal clear that they are subject, but we're going to need voters to go to the polls and go to the ballot boxes to make that clear. The only way we can do that, however, is by collecting 75,000 signatures within the next few weeks before the end of November. We have until November 22nd, the day before Thanksgiving, I believe, to get 75,000 signatures from any registered voter, Republican, Democrat, unenrolled, doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. This is not a partisan issue. This is a good government issue. This impacts all families in Massachusetts. We need 75,000 folks out there to sign our petition to get this on the ballot so that we can make sure it is codified and enshrined into law, that the legislature will be held accountable to you via a regular audit by the Office of State Auditor. If you would be interested in helping this initiative, I ask that you please visit my website. It's dianaforma.com. Click on the ballot button, and there you can get information about how you can help us to collect signatures. We're asking that anybody who wants to sign also help to fill a sheet. There's only 23 slots for signatures on each sheet. Certainly reaching out to your family, friends, or just walking around your neighborhood or standing out at the grocery store, you can absolutely fill one of those sheets. And then you just take it down to your local city or town clerk's office and turn it in. And that will go a long way to helping us. So click on the ballot button on my website. And if you can make a contribution to the Committee for a Transparent Democracy, those funds that are raised, this is a grassroots effort, those funds that are raised will go directly towards ensuring that we get the signatures to actually get this issue on the ballot. We cannot do this without you. We need every single person out there to pitch in right now to make sure that this is something that we're able to do. Again, this is a grassroots campaign. We need your support. Please go to Diana for MA and click on that ballot button to get involved.
Diana, we have a link to your website. We also have a link to that ballot question that you mentioned on the ballot button, so people will see that very easily right down below the interview here. And can they sign the petition from the website, or does it have to be kind of, you know, on paper and then sent down to your city hall or town hall?
Unfortunately, Bill, and this isn't our regulation, but unfortunately, the regulations don't allow for online signatures. So it will need to be something that's signed in person because we are very limited with staff, with volunteers, obviously, in such a short turnaround time with only until November to collect these signatures. I mean, that's coming up quickly. We are happy to mail out those petitions to folks. And we just ask that, you know, if we're going to mail them out to you, because we're going to mail you an entire sheet, again, there are 23 slots on there. If you can just help us to get as many signatures as you can on that sheet, that would go a long way. And then, you know, we'll get it out to you. You can bring that sheet down to your clerk's office and then just shoot us an email on the website and just let us know that you turned it in and let us know where you turned it in, and we'll make sure it gets collected.
All right. That sounds good. We've got actually, I want to jump back to the audit itself. Can you tell our listeners, you know, how much progress did you make with the legislature? Maybe you can't talk about this, but when did the pushback begin, if you will? Or did it start right from the very beginning?
Sure. So the way that our office conducts audits is during the audit process, so as to not compromise the integrity of an ongoing audit and an investigation. We're not able to, under government accountability standards, talk about exactly what the auditors are looking at during the audit. However, that will all be public information and public record available to the general public upon the completion of the audit. I can tell you more generally some of the things that we're looking at. We're looking at processes and procedures. We're looking at the way the committees operate. We're looking at the financials of the state legislature. We are trying to we're going to be, you know, looking at the non-disclosure agreements that have potentially been handed out in the legislature and how much was spent on non-disclosure agreements. We can look at procurement and contracting in the state legislature. Now, these are things that we analyze in other state entities. And, you know, like I said, they are working together with our office, unlike legislative leaders. We just think that voters at home deserve to know how their tax dollars are being spent. And this is a unique opportunity that we have to help increase accessibility in the legislature by shining a light on where they can do better by all of you at home, the workers who are sending your tax dollars in to these elected officials for them to vote on how those tax dollars get spent. We should know about their operations, their procedures, their processes. You know, Massachusetts, Bill, is the only state in the nation that is not subject to public records. We don't have open meeting laws here for our state legislators. You know, cities and towns have to abide by open meeting laws. They abide by public records laws. My office is subject to public records requests. So, you know, this body has been ranked as one of the least transparent state legislatures in the entire nation. And for Massachusetts, where we have, you know, such forward-thinking voters, you know, it's unacceptable that our state government is not up to speed when it comes to matters of transparency and accountability. We have a lot that needs to be addressed. We're in a housing crisis. We're in a climate crisis. We're in a mental health crisis. We're in a transportation crisis with the MBTA. And we cannot keep on doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting that things will change. So, you know, this is a push to change how business is done on Beacon Hill. If we want to address the housing crisis, if we want to address the climate crisis, if we want to address the transportation crisis, if we want to address the mental health crisis, then we need to change how business is being done on Beacon Hill and stop allowing our elected officials to continue doing that business behind closed doors. You know, our state budget every year has been getting largely discussed behind, has been being largely discussed behind closed doors, out of the view of the general public. It's a state budget of billions of dollars, and it's passed only in a matter of days with just a handful of legislative leaders participating in those budget negotiations, again, behind closed doors. We see very little debate on different amendments that might come up during that process, very little public conversations about what's occurring with that state budget. And then all of a sudden, poof, magically, there's a state budget, generally late, almost every year in recent years, generally late past the deadline that's set for that state budget to be released. And, you know, taxpayers don't get information about why decisions were made, who voted for what, and that's a disservice to those who are out there working hard to collect their paychecks and see, you know, in the tax lines, in their paychecks, you know, they see this amount of money going into state government and coming out of their paychecks. The least they deserve is to know, you know, how state legislators are operating to conduct business surrounding the use of those tax dollars that they are sending in out of their paychecks every week. So, again, if you are fed up with how state government is operating up on Beacon Hill, if you are tired of the shenanigans, if you would like to help our state legislature to work better so that we can have more accountability surrounding the use of our tax dollars and get information about what's going on Beacon Hill, please visit the website, click on that ballot button, and please get involved. We need all hands on deck. I cannot do this alone. This is not something that just one woman can do on her own. I need everybody who's willing to pitch in. If you can collect one sheet full of signatures in your local city or town, again, we'll send you instructions. We'll send you some sheets. And you can help out with that effort, and we'll say a huge thank you. If you can make even just a small contribution, every dollar counts towards this effort. I'll say thank you in advance, and I'm so grateful to be able to work alongside of you.
Diana, I just want to follow up. This legislative audit is such a huge issue, so I just want to follow up. Well, my last question would be, is there a timeline where you're expecting to hear anything from the Attorney General regarding the legal initiative here?
So they actually have just recently gotten back in touch with our office. To my understanding, I have not yet spoken with my staff regarding that outreach, but I will be speaking with my staff this afternoon to hear if there's any news, and I will certainly be letting folks know what the status is as soon as we have a status to report back on.
All right. Now, you mentioned the non-disclosure agreements with the legislature. Are there other non-disclosure agreements that you're kind of auditing?
So yes. Yeah, so for folks back, you know, at home listening or driving your car, who might not be aware of exactly what a non-disclosure agreement is, it's a legal term for a legal agreement that is generally tied to a settlement, a financial settlement of some sort, that requires the confidentiality of the person signing the agreement so that they do not disclose something. And a lot of times what will happen in workplaces is that, you know, an employee or someone will be a witness or a victim of, a witness to or a victim of abuse in the workplace, for example, whether that be harassment of some sort, whether that be, you know, discrimination, whether that be bullying, whether that be, you know, whatever it is, they're able to, in the workplace, use what's called a non-disclosure agreement to require confidentiality out of someone who has witnessed some bad behaviors. Now, a lot of folks aren't aware, these agreements are able to be used in our own public government right now, our state government, and they're able to be paid for using our tax dollars. So that means that if there is potential public corruption, if there is sexual harassment happening in a workplace, in government, if there is abuse, bullying, or any type of bad behavior is occurring in a state government entity, currently under law, your tax dollars are able to be used to silence government workers about that abuse happening in state government, so they could be witnessing or experiencing serious abuse in the workplace, and we would never know about it because our tax dollars could have been spent to silence that employee about the very bad behavior that they may have experienced or witnessed. I have been talking about this for several years since I was a state representative. For folks who don't know, I served as a state representative for 6 years in the Merrimack Valley and the North, and then I served as a state senator after that for 4 years, serving the Merrimack Valley and the North Shore. Now I'm the state auditor, and I'm taking the work that I did in the state legislature to the work of the auditor's office, and I talked about how non-disclosure agreements for cases of abuse in state government needed to be banned, how we shouldn't be using tax dollars to fund the silencing of victims and protect powerful perpetrators of abuse. Now as state auditor, I am conducting an audit of state entities across Massachusetts to see where non-disclosure agreements are used, how much has been being spent in our tax dollars to silence people about abuse in government. And we're going to be, you know, hopefully looking at demographic information surrounding that to see, you know, who's getting silenced, why they might be getting silenced, so that we have information. And this is because I believe, that it is incredibly important to make sure, number one, that we're not silencing victims of harassment and abuse, and allowing for perpetrators of that abuse to continue going on with business as usual without, you know, having to answer for what they have done or what they have been doing. But in addition to that, we need to ensure that there's accountability around our tax dollars. Right now, it seems like there's a free-for-all in how these tax dollars may be spent to protect powerful perpetrators and silence government workers. We need some accountability around how these agreements are able to be used to make sure that these agreements are not abused. And that's the intent of this audit, is to make sure that we're helping to increase accountability, helping to increase transparency, so that you, the taxpayer, knows how your dollars are being spent, why they're being spent that way, and that we can make sure that government entities are held accountable as to the use of your tax dollars going towards protecting abusive behaviors in the workplace and silencing people who need to speak out about things that need to change in state government.
Well, I'm sure people listening to this are realizing how important the auditor's role is in impacting policy, not just adding up numbers and disclosing what they look like or whether they added things up correctly. I mean, it's very impactful on policy and lives of people. Which I want to go to the last question that I kind of have here. It's also something that we have a link to, and it's on your Diana for Mass website, and that's on your kind of guiding principles, if you will, that you had when you were coming into office: social justice, equity, transparency. We've heard that, you know, from what you've been telling us here today. But maybe put a kind of a bow on that for us, a ribbon and bow or whatever, and describe that as a guiding principle for you.
Sure. How much time do I have?
You have as much time as you want.
All right, great. So I'll just take a minute or two here. But look, I have a social justice and equity audit plan that is on my website that I just told you to go to sign up for the ballot initiative, dianaforma.com. When you go there, you can also check out my audit plan, which is focused on social justice and equity. Now, you're right, Bill. A lot of people would just think of the auditor's office and think accounting, right? Now, while it is true that we do have accountants that work in the office, and certainly financial aspects of audits are incredibly important, our office looks at the performance of state entities. We look at processes, we look at procedures, think quality assurance. And, you know, when we go into these agencies and entities and departments of the Commonwealth, we have an opportunity to help those entities to identify problematic or potentially problematic areas in their entities that need to be addressed so that they can better function on behalf of the taxpayer. You know, we think about the MBTA right now, right? And we think about how the MBTA has been riddled with issues, challenge after challenge, particularly around performance and safety. Well, our office is conducting a performance and safety audit right now to ensure that we are doing everything in our power to shine a light on, you know, anything we can regarding safety and performance, to ensure that we're helping the administration, which is a new administration, and the state legislature and advocates and stakeholders to be able to have all the tools in the tool belt that are possible to be able to make informed decisions. With this audit, we are hoping to contribute to the conversation surrounding ways to improve the MBTA. Certainly, we know that this audit is not going to solve all the problems at the MBTA. It's an audit, but it's another tool in the tool belt that can help to shine a light on some of the dark areas in the state agency so that we can all better understand some of the areas that we need to be focusing on. You know, that's a matter of social justice and equity in and of itself. Folks who are relying on public transportation, working families across the Commonwealth, they deserve to have a public transportation system that's reliable, that's accessible, that's equitable in its services, you know, and that they can trust, you know, is not going to catch on fire on their way to work or doctor's appointments, that, you know, they can trust is not going to have ceiling tiles falling in front of them when they're walking. So, you know, in addition to, you know, things like the MBTA, we are looking at various state agencies and conducting equity audits to look at ways that we can improve equity, accessibility, and accountability to all working families in Massachusetts, regardless of our family background, our bank balance, or our zip code, so that it's not just the powerful and the privileged who have access to state government services. I'm sure people listening at home can think of a time, at least one, probably many more, but you can think of at least one time where you've contacted a state agency and been incredibly frustrated trying to navigate through red tape or bureaucratic processes, you know, that left you feeling exhausted after a long day of work, you know, or on a lunch break when you tried to call in to get access to something that you needed or try to get assistance from a state agency. Our office does its best to analyze those processes and procedures in different agencies to make sure that they're functioning as best as possible. Now, again, we can't solve all these problems overnight, but we do provide an assist to taxpayers across the board in Massachusetts to look into some of the more problematic areas that have been raised to our office. You know, like I said, the MBTA, these non-disclosure agreements being used, folks have expressed incredible frustration with the way the state legislature operates. You know, that's one of the reasons why we're conducting this audit right now. Folks are frustrated with the lack of accountability from Beacon Hill right now. And when folks raise to our office areas of concern, we are able to take those things that are raised to our office And, you know, sometimes we're able to incorporate those things into ongoing audits to take a look at ways that agencies may be able to better their systems so that you get better served back at home. And look, as someone who comes from a working class family myself in the city of Methuen, my mom was a single mom. I grew up housing insecure, moving around a lot. My mom was a nurse's aide when I was growing up. I graduated from the local public school here. I went off to community college, which was an associate's degree. I was able to afford, thanks to our state legislators at the time, investments in families like mine. Ended up getting a scholarship to become the first in my family to graduate. Without the investments of others into my future success, I would not have been able to have seen any, you know, success the way that I have been. So I'm very grateful for the investments that were made. And I think, you know, that has lent to my desire to ensure that the investments that are being made into our future generation, into the services that are being provided now, that they're being spent the right way, that they're being used efficiently and effectively, that we're not wasting and squandering the resources that we are sending into our state government. You know, there are a lot of folks out there who are relying on state government for, services. We have our public safety departments. We have our roads and bridges. We have our schools. We have our senior centers. You know, we think about all of these things that receive funding from tax dollars. We just want to make sure that there's accountability in how those dollars are being spent so that folks are getting the best bang for their buck when it comes to their tax dollars. And we're hard at work in the auditor's office, but again, we can't do what we do without you. So I just want to say I'm so grateful to those of you who are willing to step up to the plate, especially over the course of the next 8 or 9 weeks here, as we do pursue going back to this ballot initiative to increase transparency and accountability on Beacon Hill by making sure that we can get this issue on the ballot. We need 75,000 signatures. Please go to DianaForMA.com, click on the ballot button, and sign up to help us collect signatures in your local city or town. I know that we're talking to, you know, a lot of folks from Peabody here, but if you happen to be listening, you're from out of town, we can send it to you. As long as you're a registered voter in Massachusetts, you can help get involved here. And also, please, if you can make a small contribution or a contribution of any size, click on that button as well, and you can also make a donation to the Committee for a Transparent Democracy. Bill, I need to jump right now,
yep.
But I do want to say I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to come on today and to speak with you and to share what's going on. I look forward to hearing from folks and look forward to coming back on soon, and I hope you have a great day.
Yep, Diana, just hang on the line for a moment. That's Diana DeSaglio, State Auditor here on MSO Newsports.com.